Our preachers this morning are two of our members who are deeply, deeply committed to following Jesus and who are passionate about welcoming and loving everyone like Jesus loves. Both of them have the spiritual gift of hospitality as well as the spiritual gift of administration or organization. Together, they are heading up our hospitality team and helping us to understand that hospitality is something to which every single follower of Jesus is called. Marty, who will speak to us first, is also the coordinator of our Budget In Community Center for those otherwise homeless persons who are living at the Budget Inn in New Cumberland. Karen is recently retired, and she's a quilter, but she also knows how to weave people together, how to introduce people and get them to know one another. She's also a great organizer, and she has felt a call from God to help us take the next step in being a church that shows exceptional, extraordinary hospitality so that all who come here feel welcome. Marty, you're up.
Okay. Good morning. I'd like to thank Pastor Debbie and Pastor Jenny for allowing Carrie and I to speak to you this morning about hospitality here at Salem. The church council has decided that hospitality be one of the three major focuses for our congregation for the next 5 years. This was discerned after the congregation decided through our dream visioning focus last year. And I'm so excited that we recognize the importance of hospitality here at Salem. In the book, Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations by Robert Chenace, radical hospitality is one of these practices. So, being you have two speakers this morning, we were limited to 10 minutes each. So I put on my timer, 10 minutes. There's no service after this one. You guys are either blessed or in trouble, however you want to take that. But I don't have a 10-minute limit for this one. So I apologize to the gathering team. That's why everybody was coming in late, because Karen and I kind of went over at the last service. We thought we had a half hour in between, but somehow that shrunk. As Karen and I were discussing our speaking this morning, I said we have to choose a scripture that coincides with our talks. So the next Sunday, Karen comes in and says, "Hey, Marty, I got my scripture. It's the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Because I knew you wouldn't choose that one." I don't know how Karen views me, but man, I love her, and I love you. I love you. And if for some reason you aren't feeling that, then I got to do better. With that being said, you may hear some harsh things or things that make you feel uncomfortable this morning. But if there's any parents among us, if you love your children, sometimes you have to tell them what they don't want to hear. Not because you want to be mean, because you love them. So, I don't think you're my children. I think you're my peers. So I love you, and here we go. After learning a few months ago that hospitality was going to be a major focus for our church, I asked some of our newest attendees to answer the following question. What are your first impressions of Salem? I said, be brutally honest. I want to hear them. If they're good, I want to hear they're good. If they're bad, I want to hear they're bad. I asked 7 people. I received 7 responses. So I'd like to share them with you. I don't normally read when I preach, but I want to read these to you so that you know they are completely accurate, and this is what was contained in the email. First of all, we want to thank you for caring enough to ask our opinion about how Fishing Creek Salem is doing at hospitality to new faces at your church. Yes, there is always work to do in this area, but we are encouraged by what we see. Extending hospitality on a Sunday morning is fairly easy for most people. What seems to be more difficult is extending that hospitality outside the walls of the church. We have had the experience that people are friendly on Sunday mornings, but will pass by us at Walmart or the grocery store without even a nod. This is the area the church, at least the ones we have been involved in, needs to do a better job at building community. A second point is that if we have been part of a church community for a long time, maybe we grew up there, it becomes natural to want to speak with those you know. And it is a bit of a blind spot in thinking that someone needs to change. There is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to catch up with friends and family at church or sitting together so we can talk. That's part of being a community. But as someone from the outside, it tends to look like a great community. Your community. How does an outsider get in? Family and friends are important, but sometimes those circles of relationships limit interaction with others, making them feel like they don't really belong. Another one. I feel there is tension between some members of the church, and it shows during service. Whether it's new ways versus old ways, traditional versus contemporary, or my way and your way, however you want to view it, I know new ways can be hard for some to accept. But we live in a world where we crave excitement, love, acknowledgement, and the desire to feel. We are living in today, so today is what the people want. And if that is how we disciple, then we need to adapt. I see new people, I hear new music, and I feel God working in my heart. It does not matter how we disciple to others as long as we are bringing in followers to Jesus. This is what matters most. I believe for some reason in my life I was drawn back repeatedly to Fishing Creek Salem. I cannot explain God and the way he works in mysterious ways, but he is working in our church and me as well. Another one, I bought tickets for the mother-daughter banquet and invited my daughter-in-law and her daughter. Close to the date of the dinner, I found out that I needed to be in York to help with my dad in the nursing home. I talked to my daughter-in-law, and she said they would still like to go and take my place, and they find somebody. They are looking for a church, and this seemed like a new way to check things out. They enjoyed the meal and program, but came away with a back take on our church. She was greeted by the host and found an empty table to sit at. Absolutely no one else spoke to them the whole evening. Not a hi or come join us, sit at our table. Another one. You spoke to my husband and I this morning at church and asked for feedback regarding our view on the hospitality at Salem. We have been attending for a year now after the church we were going to closed. We came from a church that was very small and where everyone knew everyone else. The size of Salem is a bit overwhelming for us. We know a lot of people at Salem, and with that being said, we feel welcomed by the people we know. I can tell you that we have not talked to a lot of people at the church that we don't know. We usually attend a 9:30 service, which we like a lot. We were coming to church fairly regularly and were considering becoming members. Then there was a turning point that turned me off to wanting to come back. My daughter and I were supposed to attend the mother-daughter banquet back in May with my mother-in-law, who is a member of the church. She was not able to attend, so my daughter, one of her friends, and myself attended. We sat by ourselves at table, not one single person, besides the gentleman serving our table spoke to us the entire evening. From the time we got there through dinner and through the program, not one person spoke to us. That left a lasting, not so good impression on me. It has taken me since that time until today to want to come back to the church. There's good news coming, folks. But you have to hear the bad news. You have to hear the bad news, but there's great news in what we're doing too. So I started with the bad. I'm going to leave you with the positive, so that we can expand on that. But we have to know. We have to know where we are not doing our best. So here's the good news. In June 2017, our daughter attended VBS at Fishing Creek Salem United Methodist Church. Had a marvelous time and was excited to be introduced to God and Jesus. The following summer, she returned to VBS and once again bonded with her instructors, especially with Miss Tracy and all the volunteers. We returned for services during the summer because we were invited at the end of VBS. And my daughter was given a chance to perform as part of the VBS group at the service. After that visit, my daughter expressed her wish to attend at our church regularly. So our church of choice was driven by my daughter. Our church, Salem, is where the child felt comfortable and loved. Another one. We both have enjoyed attending services and speaking with you and other members. Everyone is very welcoming, friendly, and easy to converse with. I also like the variety of programs that are offered. We are currently enrolled in the Financial Peace University. Overall, we both feel that this is where we would like to worship. I also get a strong sense of community here, and I really need that since we've recently moved to the area from Pittsburgh. One more. As far as hospitality at Salem goes, I think you all do a phenomenal job. I have always felt very welcomed at Salem, both by people who know me and people who don't know me as well. Salem is honestly one of the most hospitable churches I have been part of, which I know is not an easy task. Salem is a community that kind of grounds me when I have the chance to be there, and I am very thankful for that. So I know I raced through these because I only have 10 minutes, which is not here, but 10 minutes to talk this morning. But as you can tell by the responses, hospitality is not easy. I like to use the analogy of a football team. Because to me, a football team is the most team-oriented sport there is. Now, you may disagree and you may have other sports, but for me, football is the most team-oriented sport there is. If one person doesn't do their job, I'm going to use a quote from somebody that I really don't like, and I probably shouldn't say that in church, but I really don't like Bill Belichick. But one of the positive things he says all the time is, do your job! Not somebody else's job. Do your job! So if we all do our job, and Pastor Jenny a few months ago promoted everybody to the hospitality team. So it's your job. Do your job. If one person, and I've shared this example with other people, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there are examples of where we haven't been very hospitable. But it was only one person. 350 attend here on a Sunday, and 349 are the most awesome people in the world. But one person says, that child wouldn't have been baptized, we would have got out of here on time. True story. One person. Years before I attended Salem, there was a building campaign entitled Making Room for All God's Children. We've been able to do that. We have no debt. We have facilities. And as that important goal was attained, I would like for us to embark on a new goal entitled Making All God's Children Feel Welcome. As you were probably expecting, I am going to challenge you today. This story was shared with me last month in a class I am teaching at Winterstown United Methodist Church. So I'm going to read it again because I don't want to mess it up. I want you to hear it just like it was written. Quote, I had taken my friend Dan to the hospital. He needed a blood transfusion because he was diabetic. We were sitting in the waiting room waiting for the nurse to call his name. We began talking about what was the church's mission, and being a disciple was brought up. We no sooner started exchanging ideas and the nurse came out and took him away. A tall, husky man about 6 feet came over and introduced himself. Hello, I am Pastor Stephen. I overheard you and your friend talking about being disciples at your church. He looks me in the eye and says, I help the drug addicted who live on the streets, the prostitutes who work at night, and the alcoholics who don't know where to go. I tell them Jesus can change their lives. How he died for our sins and that he loves you like his son. I convince them to find salvation in Jesus Christ and to go to church and pray for strength. Then he says, once I get them to your church, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? When a street pastor, a friend, a relative, or God himself sends someone to our church, whether they're rich or poor, healthy or sick, clean or dirty, haven't been to church for a while, haven't been to this church for a while, which they used to attend, but for some reason don't now. We're just looking. Once I get them to your church, what are you going to do?
First, I need to say I'm not as animated as Marty is, so. Please pray with me. May the words coming from my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord my God. Amen. When Harry and I were first married, one of our pastors showed us a cross that he had gotten during a mission trip. It was made of wood, and it was hand-carved. He'd had the opportunity to talk to the artist and shared what the artist told him about this cross. This cross was totally different from any cross I had ever seen. and it made quite an impression on me. From the base of the cross up the main stem, it was covered entirely with carvings of hands. So many hands, all intertwined and piled one on another. The hands were all reaching up toward God, according to what the artist said. Now, don't you think that hands can be as expressive as faces sometimes? These hands certainly captured that ability. Some appeared to be coiled in anguish or pain. Others looked as if they were reaching up in urgent desperation. And still others looked as if they were expressing joy and offering praises to God. From the top of the cross, flowing toward the crossbar, were more hands. But these hands were reaching down. And per the artist, they were the hands of God, reaching down to mankind to offer comfort, mercy, love, and hope. In the very center where the hands reaching up met the hands reaching down, there was a heart, and it seemed to pulse as we looked at it. This heart represented the love of God. Of course, wherever we meet God, there is love. But then, and this is the part that struck me the most, at the crossbar, the hands all changed direction, and they reached out to share the love of God that they had found at the center of the cross. All of this in the form of a cross. A cross, the place where the greatest act of love ever happened. It's been more than 30 years since I first saw this cross and heard the explanation of what it represented to the artist. But every time, every single time that Marty talks to me about hospitality, this is the image that pops into my head. And every time that cross is as clear as the day I first saw it, and every time there appears to be a spotlight on the hands reaching out. So if you ask me what hospitality means here at Salem Church, I would say, based on that persistent image, that it means extending ourselves to share God's love with others. In a practical sense, how do we do that? As they say, that is the $10 million question, and it's the answer to that question that the hospitality team has been working to figure out. We're not quite there yet. Here's what we do know, though. We know that God is constantly blessing us with visitors. We know also from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 12, that Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." So we've started this journey toward intentional hospitality by asking ourselves if we're prepared to accept and honor God's blessing of visitors. In 2018, we began to track the first-time visitors who came to Salem on Sunday mornings and who completed a connection card. From February, when we started counting, through December, we counted 96 first-time visitors. We know from studies that there are most likely another 20% who didn't complete a connection card. So if we add all that together, we realize that in 2018, God blessed Salem with 100 visitors, more than 100 visitors. 100 visitors. 100 blessings from God. 100 people whom God has given us the privilege of sharing the good news of Jesus. We are counting visitors, but let me be clear. Our hospitality initiative is not about numbers. And it's not about membership roles. It's about doing all we can, in every way we can, to share Jesus with all those whom God sends through the doors of his church here at Salem. So back to my original question. Are we prepared in every way we can be? I know that I'd feel terrible if I walked past someone who needed a friendly word in my lack of coffee Sunday morning oblivion. But let's think about how we welcome visitors in our own homes and then apply that to the church. Do our greeters have their best smiles on, smiles that engage the eyes and say, "We're so glad to see you"? Is the Holy Grounds Cafe ready to offer the universal sign of welcome? Donuts? Are ushers prepared to introduce newcomers to others? Are we all prepared to talk to strangers? Is our grass cut and is our building well maintained? Do we have visible signs that point the way to restrooms, to our different service locations, and to the nursery? Do we have a consistent way to reach out and thank visitors for attending our services? Do we have an information desk where we can find out about small groups and service projects? These are just a small handful of the many, many things that we are discussing in the hospitality team meetings, because we know that everything speaks to a visitor. And we also know that first impressions are made in just 7 minutes, and that those 7 minutes start in the parking lot. So if I'm a visitor, I know everything I already know, everything I need to know about Salem before the service begins, because of how I'm treated between the parking lot and my seat. As human beings, when we go someplace new where we don't know anyone, we're asking ourselves two questions. Will there be anyone like me here? And will I belong? If we don't feel like we can belong here at Salem, we won't return. And we want visitors to return. Very few people come to Jesus after one visit to a church. We need people to come back a second, third, fourth, fifth time and more. Our mission, after all, is to make disciples who make disciples. If we don't talk to people or we make them feel uncomfortable, do we think that they'll come back? And more importantly, how does this introduce Jesus to those who don't yet know him? We need to welcome visitors in the same way that Jesus welcomes us, so that they will continue down a path of getting to know him. We need to help them make connections with small groups, service projects, and fellowship opportunities, so that they can build relationships once they come back, because we know it is the interpersonal relationships that help us all feel as if we belong. So now you're probably thinking, is hospitality only about visitors on Sunday mornings? It's not. It's so much more than that. It's about how we treat each other, too, even if we've been coming here for years. It's about any time we're in the church building, not just Sundays. It's about any time we're out in the community. It's about celebrating our ministries and the wonderful things that people do in this church to help others. It's about lifting each other up. It's about helping each other feel as if we have a place to belong. It's about shifting our culture and our mindset in the places where it's not quite there yet. It's about reflecting at all times and everywhere we go the way that Jesus welcomes and treats us. It's about people seeing us as the family of God, and representing that family in the best way we know how. It's about the word picture I painted for you of a wooden cross carved with hands. It's about those hands, our hearts, reaching out to share God's love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Scripture tells us that love is indispensable. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, or if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast. But I do not have love. I gain nothing. This says to me that no matter what talents or gifts we have or what deeds we do, they don't mean anything if we don't have love. And what value is love if it is not shared? Mother Teresa said, "If I look at the mass, I will never act. If I look at the one, I will." We're all creatures of habit, and I'm including myself in this. We may come to the same service each week. We may sit in the same seats. We may talk to the same people. We may even say some of the same things every Sunday to each other. So I'm going to challenge you this week to take the words of Mother Teresa to heart, to practice some intentional hospitality, and talk to one different person than you normally talk to on your way out of church today. It could be someone you know or someone you don't know, someone new to Salem or someone who's been here a lifetime. Just strike up a conversation about a part of the service that spoke to you or about the weather or ask them what's new. This church is full to the brim of interesting and wonderful people. Let's all treat ourselves. Let's get to know each other a little better each week. Let's make each other feel loved and valued. Let's honor Jesus by treating each other and our guests with the same grace, understanding, and hospitality with which he treats us. Remember that cross that keeps popping into my brain. Reach out. Love God. Love others. Make all God's children feel welcome.